Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Side note, like, you know Le Twins?
Yes.
I used to battle them in this hip-hop club in the 18th century of Paris before they were Le Twins.
What? Yes. Are you kidding me? The dancers?
The dancers.
Oh, so you can hold your own.
You know, if this writing doesn't work out, you might see in the formation.
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
And we're back. Or I'm back. Hi. This is Courtney.
This is Joy Marie. Welcome back, Courtney.
I know. I had so much joy.
We missed you so much.
But you know, I'm happy. Like, we had some great, great guests. I'm a little salty. I missed them, but I'm happy for the audience.
So yeah, we'll just have to bring them back. That's the solution.
True.
But if you're new to the show, thanks so much for tuning in. Tweet us, say hello, check out our site for resources, joblogs.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. You can think of us as like your, I guess we say group chat.
Yes.
Your work group chat.
Yeah, your group chat, girlfriends, career confidants. We just chop it up. We keep it real.
We do. Courtney is back from working on a ton of amazing projects and programs. We're also very pumped and excited because we're both back from vacation.
Yes, this is kind of like a wanderlust situation. Yes. Afterglow.
Yes, afterglow. Still shining. Still sparkling.
Listen, my tan is on fleek. I wish this was video because it's amazing.
You're missing out. But also coming up in today's episode, we're going to be having a really great conversation with freelance journalist Janelle Martinez, who's going to talk to us about what it's like to be an Afro-Latina in media and how her international experience and worldview shapes the work that she does every day.
For sure.
So very exciting. Stay tuned.
Well, you know, so while I was on my travels, I went to Thailand. And I spent 10 days there, 3 in Bangkok, and then the rest in Phuket on the coast. And so before I left, Joy told me to keep an eye out for epiphanies and such for the podcast.
You know, just casually if they hit you.
Yeah, it just happens on the beach. And, you know, it did. You're welcome. So one of the big things that struck me, because this is my longest bit of travel. Like, this is my first time hopping across the ocean. And I was struck by kind of the misconceptions you can have just about different places. I think especially Americans in the United States, we kind of think like, oh, we're just leaders of the world in like every way, and like tech and like everyone else is just kind of, you know, catching up. Bangkok had highways for days, skyscrapers everywhere, just infrastructure to boot. And like, even we were driving out to like the countryside and like it just went on forever. Yep. And I was just like, that's such a powerful shift to realize that like, everybody's kind of on the same, playing field here.
Architecture is one of those things that'll do that for you. It's just fascinating. It's phenomenal how advanced, architecture is in certain regions of the world.
And Thailand is beautiful. Like,
oh, so jealous. Your pictures were
and
everything.
Gilded and glittering. And it's,
What was your favorite city, can you say?
I would say Phuket, only because I'm a beach girl. Like, I love the beach. Bangkok, it was I was there 3 days, and that was enough.
Okay.
It was enough, because, like,
it's very urban.
Yeah, living in New York is like, okay, city. I got it.
Yeah.
Can we come? Can we just dial it down a couple notches? Yeah. So, that was for sure. So, how was Colombia?
Colombia was amazing, phenomenal. It was so much fun.
Really?
I had such a blast. It was my first time in Latin America.
That's definitely on my list.
And I went with a really big group of MBA students from Chicago Booth, but the international students from all over the world. So it was fascinating because, like, the Italians would make dinner on the yacht. And then, like, you know, I it just met people from all over that kind of approached things differently mm-hmm. and just made the whole trip just so fulfilling and great. Cartagena, Medellin, and Bogota. I would say Cartagena was my favorite. That's a coastal city. Mm-hmm. And we stayed in the walled city, which was just colorful. So if you guys know me, I put together shot lists before my vacation because I got to take my photos. And colorful cities just like, they just make my heart so full and warm. And so I came back just very creatively inspired. I also had epiphanies. I had my note memo pad and my phone going with just all sorts of ideas for this and for my life. And it was just perfect. It was amazing.
Oh, good.
So good.
Came back refreshed.
Yes, refreshed. One thing, though, that to your point, like I was thinking about is just this notion of like visiting versus experiencing a place. I think it's so easy when you travel to kind of want to stick to what you know. In many ways, even though you're in a different environment, you want to go to, you know, the McDonald's or get your fast food or eat burgers or whatever.
Although even McDonald's can be
Is different.
They give us dirt here. They don't care a thing about us in America.
Girl, you get organic goat cheese burgers with caramelized onions in Europe at McDonald's, okay? So actually, that's a moot point. But yeah, I think it's so easy to just kind of want to stick to what you know.
Yeah.
And one of my huge pet peeves on vacation is like, oh, do you speak English? It's like, no, you're in somebody else's country. Like, try with the Spanish. Just try.
I did it more when we visited Mexico last year because you know how Spanish border tap into. But in Thailand, I did. The language is much harder.
But
I did at least, you know, do my little sawadikra, my hello, my thank you.
Oh, yes.
Because I just think, like, it just shows.
It's courtesy. Yeah, it's manners. It's like, at least try, and then we can get into the English or whatever. So that was one thing. And then I think every time, like, you can get away, it's just an epiphany of, you know, we're just... We're all the same. We're all human.
Oh, my
human.
God. Like, even at time, I was like, oh, this reminds me of Mexico. This reminds me of Miami.
We're all the same. Like, at the end of the day, we eat, we sleep, we work.
I will say, talking about work, yes, Bangkok is very advanced. Those people work hard, though. And
really?
They work hard.
What you mean? Like,
and it's just, I thought New York was on 10. The hustle is so real in Bangkok. Like, I was almost tired, too, from just, like, haggling. Because, you know, everything is, like, a haggling system, negotiating. They're like, oh, you got to take a picture of the cab to make sure that they don't, like, deny you access or go the wrong way.
Ooh.
Like, every time I want to go somewhere.
Oh, really?
I was just like, toward the end, I was like, girl, just give it to me for the price. Whatever. Just take it. Like,
I can't do it with you anymore. That's hysterical.
And I was fascinated. I went on a tour. And our tour guide, he works, like, he follows us for the 10 days. So he was with us in Bangkok, he was with us in Phuket.
Okay.
And then he was like, in the busy season, because he goes home after the tour.
Yeah.
He was like, in the busy season, I'll have like 2 days at home.
Oh.
And then I'll come back to work for like another 2 week stint.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
2 weeks on, 2 days off.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm just
Wait, so like, no weekend?
His weekend is whenever he was off.
Oh, I can't fathom. Brain does not compute.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I took that because, you know, I took that as, like, when you're, it's a privilege to be able to, like, have a voice for yourself and defend the type of work life you want to have.
That's a word.
Yeah.
That is a word. It puts a lot of things into context. Like, a lot of the conversations that we have on the show are privilege. It's a privilege to be able to talk about those
things. For sure.
Okay, it's time for Rants, Raves, and Reviews. This is the segment of the show where we each share a product rave, a review of a service, a tool, or experience that's positively or negatively impacting our lives.
Okay, so what are you doing?
I'm going to keep it in the travel theme, talk about Google Translate.
Okay. You text me talking about it was witchcraft. What is
it? It is witchcraft. So Google Translate is an app. I mean, full disclaimer, I haven't done much research except for actually using it on my trip.
Okay.
And the way I used it, it's an app on my phone that can translate text, but also scan images. So like you can hold up the app and take a picture to scan a menu in Spanish. And right before your eyes, like witchcraft, it will translate that Spanish into English. So you're sitting looking at your phone screen, same colors and everything. Yeah, you can hold it up to a stop sign in another language and it translates it. And then the real creepy feature is that it does audio as well. So if people are around you having an audio conversation, you could turn that on.
I'm using the nail shop.
Translation. But all jokes aside, it was awesome. You know, if you're in a different country, a different environment, don't understand the language and need a quick tool, I'd highly recommend it. I would say as a word of caution, though, maybe don't pull it out and make yourself look like a tourist target. You don't want to be the girl that's like holding your phone up, scanning things, oblivious of your surroundings. What are you doing?
I'm doing a rave of sorts. Some must-have downloads I discovered when I was traveling. One is a currency converter. I don't have a specific one because really I was just like in a panic and downloaded the first one that came up in the app store.
Yeah.
Currency converter helps a lot. Like in Thailand, it's so different. Mm-hmm. I think like one baht is like 34. I don't know. It's hard.
Something that
the mental math does not compute. Yeah, it's crazy. And like people, it's so funny. Like people on that trip will be arguing about like, you owe me 500 baht. Meanwhile, it's like, girl, it's nothing. It's a few dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not a lot. So currency converter helps a lot, especially if you have to haggle.
Yeah, I lived by that in Colombia too, because it was the same thing. I think one US dollar is like 3,000. Pesos? Am I making that up? It's something like that where I can't do the quick mental math.
For sure. And then I also, going back to embracing the culture that's there, do a lot. There's a lot of like common phrase apps for like any language that you need. So like on the plane, like we could have done this like months before, but I was like, I forgot on the plane. So I downloaded it and like, you know, got myself together with a few keywords.
Greetings, salutations. Yes,
greetings, you know.
How do you get somewhere?
Where's the bathroom? Yeah. Things that you need.
Necessary.
So, yeah. And then my other rave is I did a Groupon tour.
Oh, nice.
A trip.
Nice.
And I recommend it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get it, like I paid $1,200 for flights and hotel to Thailand.
How many days?
10 days.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's stupid.
Wait, what? Flights and wow.
Yeah, and really nice hotels at that.
Wow.
And I was hesitant because you guys know I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, am I going to be trapped on this tour
with these people?
But the perks of it is like every day they have excursions, which you can pay extra to go to these excursions. So we did like the cool ones that we were interested in. And then on other days, we just kind of did our own thing.
Yeah,
so it was good because you could kind of like mingle with people when you wanted to. Like you had that base.
Yes.
And then you could do your own thing when you wanted to. And I found like the crowd like was really friendly people, diverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really diverse group. It was mainly like late 20s, early 30s.
Oh,
with
how
some,
cool.
Yeah. Like with some older people. I think there was like one family who brought their kid. But yeah, so it's like everyone's kind of really open and down and they like want to hang out. So it's like you have that community if you want it.
Yeah.
So I recommend it.
Yeah. This was my first group travel trip as well, where, I think everyone should do a group trip because we got our suite upgraded in Cartagena because, you know, it was a big group reservation. We were able to do things like book the yacht and the catamaran to go out to the water all day. I couldn't do that by myself. I did that with 18 people. So that type of stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
With big groups as well. Awesome.
So we're excited to have Janelle Martinez in the studio with us today. A little bit about Janelle, if you're not familiar with her. She's a multimedia journalist who's been featured on Huffington Post Latino Voices, NBC Latino, Remezcla, Vivala, and many others. She's also the co-founder and chief content officer at 2020 Shift, a social enterprise designed to educate minority millennials on careers in digital media and technology. The Honduran American is the founder of AnaLatina.com, an online destination celebrating diversity among Latinas and profiling Afro-Latinas across the globe. Welcome, Jeanette.
Yes, welcome. Thanks for having me. We're so excited to have you here.
I'm very excited.
Welcome, welcome. Okay, so first things first, I'm like personally thrilled because my best friend Yanori is also Honduran. Yeah. She's Garifuna as well, and she's such a fan. And so she told me to send her love. But to that point, it's interesting because we met in college, and Courtney and I were talking about this. We went to a pretty black high school, all black. And it wasn't really until college and Facebook emerged that I started to see kind of the other dimensions of people's blackness. So I would see their background was maybe like Hawaiian or Asian or, you know, Caribbean or African. And I didn't recognize that. I didn't see that in high school, right? You just kind of see everyone in their black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I love about you, what we both love about kind of the work you do, is that you bring a lot of awareness to those other dimensions of people's identity. Can you speak about kind of what compelled you to do that and what, like, inspired you to do that?
Yeah. It's interesting because it's really birthed out of a lived experience of mine. Growing up, I had a deep understanding that my family was Honduran. I was Honduran American. We were Garifuna. And for those that may not be familiar what it means to be Garifuna, essentially, to make a long story short, we were enslaved, or we were en route from Africa to be slaves. And did not, because we turned up on the ship.
Wait, really? I did not know this.
Historical turn up.
So, yeah, Garifuna people, also known as Garinagu, we're in St. Vincent, we're in Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Belize. And so growing up, like, I didn't necessarily know, like, all the details of our history, but, you know, I ate a traditional food, machuca, every Saturday, which is very similar to fufu. You know, we did things like beluria. So when people pass away a year later, you know, going back to Honduras and celebrating their life. So, like, I grew up doing things like that.
Yeah.
Eating the traditional foods.
Pupusas, chamoy.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, like, we definitely, like, love, like, food.
Yes, yes.
But when I entered into school age, I remember, and I always talk about this experience because I really feel like it was very defining for me identity-wise, was introducing myself in class. And another student, after I stood up and said, you know, my name is Jeanette Martinez, he then, like, began to question me, like, how could you, like, be black and you're not Spanish, because I was using that term interchangeably with Latino, as a kid, you know, naturally so. And he literally debated me for, like, I feel like 5 to 10 minutes about my identity.
Wow.
And a little kid, and I
invested.
You know, I was just like, yeah, really, if it was today,
right.
a different story completely.
How are you going to tell me?
Right, exactly. But that kind of kick-started, like, my personal, like, me thinking about my identity more.
Yeah.
And feeling like some days I had to make up who I was, like, because people didn't understand what it meant, what it means to be black Latino.
Yeah.
And so naturally wanting to go into media and tell stories that I felt like weren't being told, I was like, okay, at a certain point, especially this was during the time when I was working at Black Enterprise. So I was interviewing a lot of entrepreneurs, and the biggest thing they were saying was that I'm solving a big problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, in media, like, I'm not seeing Afro-Latinas in particular being represented. And I stopped waiting for, like, the other publications
to do it.
And I was like, I'm just going to launch this. And I'm definitely in an analyzer. So I was like, oh, this might not be perfect or this or that.
Yeah.
But I was so amazed, even before launching, when I launched, like, the social media pages, just the response from people. They were like, oh my gosh, like, can't wait to see the launch and things like that. And then the content, because really I share my personal experience, but what's more important to me is to create this level of community amongst Afro-Latinas and knowing that we have a space to be celebrated, because traditional media is not necessarily doing that. They're starting to, but this is like why new media is so important, is because we don't have to wait for that level of representation that we oftentimes had to in the past.
And I wonder too, like going back to Joy's point about just growing up and having this single view of blackness. Like when I went to Howard and going there, like until I got there, I just thought like black people just had the same kind of general view on things. Mm-hmm. Like not even like just cultural differences, but like politically and like just all these other things. Like it's so diverse.
Yeah.
And that's what college really taught me. And I wonder like what's the impact of just having this really narrow view of like this is what black people are like. Mm. And that's it.
Yeah. It's detrimental, I think. Yeah. Like, we cannot just have this one singular view of blackness. Like, blackness is global. Like, it's not owned by one place. Like, there's black people everywhere. Yeah. And I think that sometimes when we have, like, this linear view of what blackness is, we then approach different issues from that same lens and not embracing of other people's story. Because one thing that I get into conversations on social media about is this level of like, well, why do you have to like stress that you're black Latina? Mm. Like it's as if they just want me to put myself in one box, but it's like, hey, you can be black from other places. You can be African-American, you can be black Canadian, you could be all these different things. And I think it's just important from the level of like respect and understanding of people. Like, and you're not gonna, I think people are not gonna get it off the bat. There are certain things that I may not understand, like something that someone else, like an African-American experience, I may not 100% understand certain things, but I am black American because I too live here.
Exactly.
I'm just by way of Honduras.
And I can relate to that too, being first generation Ghanaian and growing up in Africa a lot, coming here in the fourth grade and maybe not having watched, you know, certain popular TV series, still not having seen like the original Oz and things like that. And my excuse is always like, I didn't grow up here. But it's true, because a lot of times we can get a very narrow view and expect people to have watched the same things, grown up on the same experiences, had like the same kind of cultural upbringing, and it's just not the case. But it makes me think about like a lot of the unseen attributes of identity, even in the workplace. And so recently, every time there's an opportunity at my company to do like an org announcement, if I'm getting promoted or moving around, and we send out like a blast to everyone just to tell a little bit about ourselves, I love including where I grew up, you know, where my family's lived. And I always get contacted by so many colleagues who are like, oh my God, like you lived in Zambia, I did too, like let's talk about it. And so it makes me think about presenting more of sort of this unseen self when it comes to identity, to your point about like showcasing that you are not just black, you're Afro-Latina, and bringing all those elements of your identity. It creates points that other people can kind of latch onto.
Right.
And then you have things in common.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, your workplace has to be embracive and inclusive of that. Right.
Yes.
And that I think is an issue in a lot of media. So can you speak to like, helping brands and corporations create spaces where they're not just recognizing diversity, but really celebrating and making it inclusive and embracing all of these unseen differences?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the professional setting of being embracive of people's identity, first off, I think we just have to have these conversations. Like, there needs to be a level of investment, not just on the employee's end, but also it starts at the top, right? So, it's maybe approaching, and it's not the easiest, but maybe there's a way of approaching, you know, the executive levels of these companies and, A, asking them questions like, well, have we ever thought about including more content around XYZ? Or what if I put on a 1 day or even a 1 hour introductory to X culture, things like that, where we can have these sorts of conversations.
That would be so much more beneficial than like, no shade to my employer, but like the team building stuff, like Taco Tuesday and like stuff like that. actually, like
barely scratching the surface,
right?
Like have like people really bring their culture and themselves and like introduce that. That I think that would be so much more beneficial.
Like a cultural
happy hour
day. Because think about the money that companies spend to do that sort of thing. Like, oh, like a lunch and learn, but like a Taco Tuesday. Like, think about that. Let's just take that money and actually do something that's gonna, A, be educational, but also, I think, actually affect the bottom line, because there are communities looking for certain content and representation. And that's the biggest thing, is like, if you can show that the buying power. Like, Black people, we have an immense amount of buying power. Yeah. The same can be said amongst Latinos. So it's like, if you can showcase that, I mean, companies are all in for anybody that's willing to write a check or spend money. Or,
definitely. Well, I mean, one thing about you, your resume is very impressive in terms of brands that you've worked with, even as a freelance journalist. So tell us about those companies, you know, the Huffington Post and the Remezclas, that are investing and do care about this dialogue around identity and representation. What's it like working with companies like that who get it and are progressive? And what would be your advice to maybe people in corporations who aren't quite there yet, but trying to bring that into their spaces?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Actually, the majority of the companies that I've worked with are kind of culturally focused. Mm-hmm. So they naturally get it. But I will say, even in companies that do quote unquote get it, there's always room for improvement. Whether, and it's not always just on the cultural end, maybe it's in tapping communities like the LGBTQ community or, you know, other underserved communities, if you will. But it's been great actually working with those types of companies, because if, let's say, I pitch an idea, they're typically open to it. And if they don't understand, because of the lens and the framework that these people, the editors are coming from, they are naturally going to ask the questions that would allow me to explain and say, okay, well, this is the benefit to said outlet. But for, I guess, the companies that would need or should improve, you know, I think for them, it's essentially being open to pitches from not just the editors they normally
people who look different from what they're used to working with.
And then also, too, just I think sometimes with journalism, to keep it 100, it's a lot of relationship building. And I think it's beneficial in the sense that, like, if you've developed relationships, whether through social media, through being in people's inboxes, or actually having a face-to-face kind of
conversation
with people, that's going to be beneficial, because they now think of you when they think of an opportunity. But there's going to be people that are trying to get to that level, and I think that you have to be open to having those conversations with those people. But also, on the flip side, for those that are trying to build relationships with editors, you got to come correct. You know what I'm saying? So that means,
what does that look like? Please break it down.
So, A, do your research. If you have a pitch, make sure that it's timely, or make sure you're framing it around something that is relevant to that publication. Also, it boils down to, make sure you're sending it to the right editor. You just can't send a pitch. If, let's say, you're trying to write a financial piece and you're sending it, the pitch, to the lifestyle editor, might, the lifestyle editor, if they're nice, they may send it over to the right person, but you can't expect
you can't
that
count
to be the
case,
because
right.
also they want you to know that, they want to know that you do your research, that you're thorough. So make sure that you're actually sending it to the right person. Make sure that you're timely with it, and then also be diligent in following up. You may not always get a yes off the bat, but you need to be able to communicate that value, not just of the story that you're pitching, but your value too. So just make sure that you're packaging your stuff correctly, and be diligent in following up, and also with the work that you're doing. And also too, it's really important that you create your brand online. In the sense that, like, are you talking about these topics that you're essentially writing about?
Whether it's, like, blogging,
blogging
or contributing.
Like, just doing the work outside of relying on a publication. Because now you can create your own content. And, hey, there's a lot of opportunities in that.
Absolutely. So one thing that you seem to have done very well as well is leverage your background and your identity as kind of like almost sort of like a skill or a value proposition to brands, right? And to employers, people you're partnering with. How can we all think about doing that, whether it's cultural, whether it's just, you know, the educational experience and trajectory we had, or some of these like extracurricular things we do, like this podcast or whatever it is that's on people's, you know, kind of portfolio that falls outside of the resume. How can we start to leverage some of that stuff and market it?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, use social media wisely, in the sense that, again, creating that content outside of just working with the brand. So I know for myself, I'm always talking about culture and identity. And I also think that it's just a natural passion of mine. And that, I guess, resonates with a lot of these brands or potential partners. Is because I actually love this. Like, and also this is my life, right? So I can't not be Black Latina. So that actually helps with these conversations and the opportunities, because they're looking for someone that is going to authentically speak to said demographic.
And to, like, connect back to your question, I think you said, like, create, how do you create a value from your background? But I think even just pivoting to, like, view your background as valuable, I think a lot of times people just, like, they don't look at themselves that way.
That's true.
That's a good point. Because also, too, sometimes we take for granted what comes natural to us or what our identity is. And for some places, like, they're looking for a voice. They're looking to have or include someone of a said background or that's going to bring a certain skill, and know that when you can fill a void, that's really a big thing. Like, if you can do something and you can communicate effectively your value, then you've already, like, gone halfway in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We know you're a self-proclaimed travelista. So what are, like, some of your favorite destinations that you've been to, or most memorable kind of adventures during your global travels?
So what naturally comes to mind is Paris. I studied abroad there for, like, 6 weeks in college. Oh, my gosh. It was so interesting.
That is awesome. But what did you love about Paris? Yeah. Like, what? It was just the whole city in general?
It was the whole city, but it was in particular because I was learning about, like, the African diaspora in relation to Paris. And I think a lot of people go to Paris and France and they do the, quote-unquote, touristy things. But, like, we were speaking with, like, there's a woman there that does, like, a Black experience tour. Like,
she
was our tour instructor every week.
What did that entail?
So we would go and see, like, where Josephine Baker, you know, would dance. We would meet with artists there and talk about their experience. So for me, it was really just, like, seeing the Black experience outside of the United States and also in Central America. So to actually experience that on a daily basis was just awesome. It's called the Peri Noir Program through Syracuse University. Definitely check it out, anyone out there. So that was really good. But then also recently, a few months ago rather, I went to Dubai. And that was awesome.
We all went to Dubai.
Yeah, everybody went there.
What did you think? Because that, you know, that whole I came back and I had interesting feelings just about the expat experience there, particularly Black folks, a lot of Africans. Oh. That's a deeper conversation.
Interesting, because I feel like I was in a very, it was very touristy.
So Dubai. Did you go to Abu Dhabi?
I went for just a day.
Okay,
though.
Okay.
But it was super touristy, and I did like it, but I definitely felt like it was, like, very vacation-y.
Yeah.
Like, and I always look to try to find, like, the actual real Dubai, but I feel like I couldn't find it outside of going to the souks.
Well, I was fortunate to have a sorority sister who's teaching in Al Ain outside Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
So actually, her profile is on our website. It's an Adventures Abroad profile with Brandy. She's an educator down there, and she had some very interesting perspectives. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to because I would like to, you know, that flip side.
Yeah. You know what I want? I'm interested to know what... like countries which you recommend or do you want to visit and haven't visited yet in Latin America? Because global warming is real and I'm looking for a new home country just
Well, I love Colombia. We've talked about that. Oh my gosh. Cartagena in particular.
I loved it.
And that's where all the African descent folks were. That's where my people were.
Yeah.
That felt like home.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it. But that was my first country visiting down there.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, definitely want to go to Colombia.
Okay.
Have to go to Brazil. Bahia.
Yeah. Mm.
Everyone that's gone there, I've just heard just amazing stories. And I just feel like a connection with Brazil. Mm. I don't know what it is, but I feel like just as Black people, sometimes, you know, there's just things that just connect us. And I don't know, for some reason, I just really want to go to Brazil.
Yeah. Girl, take us with you.
Yeah, let's go.
Job looking
for a new house.
Let's plan a trip.
Meaning new home country, because let's look at how the election is turning
out.
Yeah,
that too.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely Brazil.
All right, Janelle, this has been fantastic.
Yeah,
so much fun. Where can we connect with you? Where are you around the web?
Oh, definitely check out social media. I'm Janelle M. Writes. Like, I'm always on Twitter, so just tweet me.
And you got Cosmo's top Twitter account to follow. Lots of fun accolades, so definitely follow her on Twitter.
Aw. But yeah, tweet me at any point. Also visit ainsalatina.com, also 2020ship.com. That's where you can find me.
Okay, let's take a little break.
Yes, courtesy of our friend of the show, Quad.
What's Quad talking about?
Well, we got a new segment we'd like to introduce to you all called Corporate Ninja.
Oh, boy.
And now it's time for Corporate Ninja 101, Corporate Isms Decoded. Great idea. Let's table that for another discussion, okay? So, often used in a group meeting, this statement leads you, the eager beaver employee, to believe that you have raised a good point. Maybe, but probably not. It is usually an artful dodge of a point deemed beyond the scope of the conversation, and furthermore, if no indication has been given as to the timing of the next conversation, then your idea most likely has been relegated to the netherworld of oblivion, resulting in one of the politest ways to shade someone in corporate America. That's a great question. Ladies and gentlemen, do not trust a speaker that uses "that's a great question" more than two times. This is one of my personal favorite isms. It makes the question asker feel legitimized in the eyes of the crowd. Hell, if it's you, it even makes you want to brush that proverbial dirt off your shoulder. I mean, how often is anything you do at work actually deemed great? And who doesn't like to be called great? The truth of the matter is, while the accolade actually holds true under certain circumstances, the reality of the matter is that it's actually a panel stall tactic. Chances are that the person never really thought of your question and is trying to buy a few precious seconds between the crowd reflecting on the quote-unquote greatness of the question and the mediocrity of the questions that preceded it. The "that's a great" denotation is less of an indictment of the question asker than it is of the speaker. He or she thinks that they themselves are so smart that they can actually anticipate most questions. It is only because they didn't expect your question that it's in fact deemed great. And I'm not really sure if that fits the definition of great. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Look, I use it all the time. It's a good ism that works. Just use it sparingly.
It's that time again for Ask Job Logs, and that's where we turn to the mailbag and address your career and life questions. You can submit your questions to us at joblogs.com/askjoblogs.
Mm-hmm.
And our first question is from Anonymous. Hi, Job Logs team. One of my coworkers just got fired today after passing her 6-month probationary period. I know that being fired isn't a sudden or overnight kind of thing, but it's still pretty shocking. What are some things you do so you can mentally process someone being fired and avoid the black vortex of thinking that you're the next one to be fired?
Number one, I don't. I can't focus on that. I'm also at a really big public company, and layoffs pretty much happen every year this time. Mm-hmm. So it's the type of thing that I've grown to kind of get used to, which is useful because you really can't, even in a smaller environment, I totally understand kind of getting caught up in like seeing people and being fearful of yourself being next. But I would say like you have to focus on the work, which is much easier said than done. But you can't get caught up. Some things you can do is just like not gossiping with people about like what's going on and who's next and why did they do it. Like you have to opt out to that stuff because you can't worry about the things that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece, which we've talked about, is like also getting fired is not the worst thing in the world.
It's not.
Once you feel that way, once you realize that like the majority of...
Usually it helps if you've been fired. And you know. Like, this is fine. Say that.
Fired, laid off, whatever you want to call it, voluntarily left. It's not the end of the world and you keep moving from it. When you have that kind of mentality, you don't fear it. As much.
And also, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready.
Exactly.
My resume stays up to date.
Come on.
Like,
LinkedIn, summary, profile, coffee chits.
I know.
Honestly, if you don't, even if you are 200% happy at your job, if you don't have people in your inbox hitting you up every now and then with some offers, you're not doing it right. You got to keep the opportunities flowing.
Yeah.
Have that exit strategy.
Okay, because they will give you that 2 weeks notice and not look back. And
I
know some people are very much like into loyalty, and I get that, and that's a wonderful personality attribute to have. However, realize that the gig will drop you and keep it moving, so you need to be prepared to be able to do the same.
Absolutely. But good luck. Let us know how it goes. we have another question from Abby A.
Hi, Abby.
Says, hi, I found out about your podcast from iTunes' new and noteworthy banner. A, look at y'all.
Look at me.
This podcast came at the perfect time for me because I just got my first corporate job in the accounting field. I'm still in school. I have about 2 years to go. My question is about entrepreneurship. I noticed that on your show, you've interviewed a lot of people who started their own thing. My problem is I'm not finding my own thing. I love R&B music and hip hop music. I could talk about it for hours, and a lot of my friends always come to me if they need new music to listen to. I'm also a bit of a foodie. However, I'm finding it hard to monetize / start a business. I'm not an artist whatsoever. Help.
Okay. So I sense a like 0 to 60 mindset here. Like,
which I can relate to.
Yeah. And especially like when I first moved to New York and everyone has all these slashes on their business cards. Mm-hmm. It's like pressure to like, what is my thing? What is my business?
Photographer
What's my
slash
brand?
designer/DJ.
Yeah. It's so not necessary. Like, just test the waters. Like, you don't have to like commit to like, this is my thing, this is my business. Mm-hmm. Like, do some freelance work. Like, write for a publication. Take on a client in like this area. And just get a feel for if this is even your thing.
Yeah.
And like doing those like one-off projects or volunteer work or whatever, it allows you to kind of explore that area and really narrow down, like, you love music, but like what aspect of the industry are you really interested in?
That's a good point. And also, congratulations on landing the job.
Yeah.
You said you got the job. You said you're also in school. So to me, I know personally, that's a bit of a red flag, because on my side, I'm one to always try to add something to my plate instead of focusing on doing what I'm already doing very well.
Yeah.
And so I would caution, and not to deter you, but I would just caution and say, like, you are now entering a new job. Feel it out a bit. Yeah. Feel out your time, your energy. See if you have the space or the mental capacity to even take something else on. You know, finish school. Focus on that. Do that really well. Feel that out and see where you have space and energy and time.
Take your time.
Yeah. You don't need to be an entrepreneur for the sake of being one. L'Oreal Thompson Payton, who's a contributor on our website, I wrote a really great article called There's No Shame in a 9-to-5, because I think we live in a society that does promote kind of be your own boss and do your own thing.
And a lot comes with that.
Exactly. So good luck, you know, focus, figure it out. Oh, the other thing I'd say too from last episode with Jonathan is, which it sounds like you're already doing, just take inventory of the things people ask you about. Just start making a list when people come to you and ask you a certain question, and write down exactly what the questions are, because you'll start to see patterns and trends in what people are approaching you about. Yeah, it's music, but what about music is it? Is it like what's new and what's hot that they're asking you about? That might give you insight into something. Is it like
marketing,
the actual
right? Yeah.
Exactly. So start doing that. Take it from there. But one day at a time, girl. Now it's time for Hired and Fired, where we serve up hiring or termination papers to people in media pop culture who are pretty much killing it or not doing so well. So, Courtney, you're up. What are you doing today?
I always hire.
It's all good. It's all good.
So this week, I'm in a mood with the election stuff ramping up. I'm just feeling very prematurely nostalgic about my beloved FLOTUS.
Michelle.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
I love her so much. So this, we're just going to have a quick, like, fangirl session.
Let's do
over it. The greatness of Michelle Obama.
Yes.
Did you see her at that banquet for, like, the Prime Minister of Canada?
No.
Oh, my God. She had, like, her hair had just body for days, and it was, like, swooped and curled. And then she had this gorgeous gown, but it had, like, kind of a peekaboo thigh situation happening.
Hold on, I need to look this up.
Like, her leg would come out, and it was just, oh.
She slays.
Everything. Everything. And so we can tie this back to work. I can do that.
I mean, but do we have to?
I mean, but you know what? Because Michelle has something to teach you in every facet of your life. I read this really great article from The Verge on her. It's called At Michelle Obama, An Exclusive Look at How the First Lady Mastered Social Media. And it really, it's a great read, especially if you're, like, trying to implement social media in, like, places where that's not normally done.
Yeah.
And she talks a lot about, like, how she works with her team to, like, stay on top of, like, what's hot right now.
Yeah.
And how, like, it leverages against her brand.
Mm.
It was interesting, like, the person who wrote the article asked, like, would she do the dab? And she had to run it through her team, and they vetoed it.
Oh, she ran it through the team.
Yes.
And they said no, ma'am.
The team said no, ma'am, because that's allegedly marijuana-related, so we will not have it.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah, I just love watching her, like, through this whole, all these both turns. Because, like, if you recall, y'all weren't seeing it for her when they first got there.
Who y'all?
We weren't saying it. I'm just sick.
The usuals.
They were saying, like, you know, she was just this angry militant, blah, blah, blah. And she just proceeded to, like, embrace who she was. Like, she didn't, like, fake to be something else.
Yeah.
And, like, now she's, like, America's coolest mom.
She's incredible. She's incredible. And I love that she's such a huge advocate of health and wellness. And, you know, she's well-dressed and she's supportive, but she has her own voice. She's just...
I know.
Just
so
take a
I'm
moment.
Really... I'm really excited to see what she does after Barack is out of here and these girls are in college. Like, Michelle unleashed the era. You're hired. Hire me. Whatever. Just let's be together.
Come on, Michelle.
Before we go, we need to have a little adulting moment.
Okay.
So I just want to create the space for us to share tips on just being a better, higher functioning adult.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're getting to a place, we're at a place in our lives where we are adults. Like, we're not children. We are not the 18 to 24 demo.
Not even
We're
almost.
Not the youth.
Not even a little bit.
there's things you have to learn, you know.
And unlearn.
So I just want us to share, like, some things.
Okay.
This week in adulting.
Okay.
What'd you learn on your travels about adulting?
Not itemizing the bill, guys. When you're with a large group, large group. And trust me, like, it pains my heart as much as it pains the next person's heart.
There's been many a split check that's breaking my heart.
Right, for your wine and the two appetizers.
And I try not to let it affect, like, how I think about the person who, like, snuck in their extra plate. I try.
I mean, we're still on it. But, but nevertheless, adulting means pulling out that cash or that check and splitting the bill evenly. Don't be the person at a large group dinner who agreed to go to dinner with 10 people and wants to sit there and itemize.
Do long division on the back of the receipt.
Itemize your bill for a $4 difference that, like, girl, don't do it. Just down the middle when it's a large group. That is adulting. It's not great, but don't go out to eat if you're not willing to do that.
True.
That's just it.
That's a word.
Right? I mean, is it?
It's a word. I'm reluctant, but it is a word because it's just too much. You look a fool in this restaurant. That's true.
What about you?
I am discovering that team carry-on is a key part of adulting. Like, you got to edit. You can't. First, your luggage is getting lost. It's taking forever. Like, you got to, once you get off the plane, to, like, wait on that little carousel, which is really just a conveyor belt.
Can I tell
hoping
you something?
That your
Can
luggage
I tell
comes.
You, in Colombia, Regina's luggage got lost every single leg of the trip. Four flights, her luggage got lost three times.
Oh, my God. See, that's a sign.
The check-in. Right. So, to your point.
It's just wishful thinking. Like, you just hope it gets there.
Yeah.
Girl, you're traveling for 4 days. You don't need 8 outfits.
You don't.
You
four
don't
pairs
need.
Of shoes.
You're right.
Like, I mean, four.
Just be conscientious about your packing. Like, come on.
Okay, this episode was so much fun. Yeah. Thanks so much to Janelle, Quad, all y'all for listening. You guys are the real MVPs.
Yeah, catch us around the web at joblogs.com, which is really an awesome resource, you guys. It's more than a blog. Check it out for great articles from wonderful contributors. We're also at Joblogs on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where you can find tons of resources and continue the conversations we're having.
Yep, and I am on the web at Hey Miss Parker, HEYMISSPARKERR, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, follow me.
Same places, at Cleave Out Loud, CLEVE Out Loud.
Don't forget to leave us a rating and a review on the iTunes store. That helps us grow. And you guys are so awesome. You've been leaving us so many nice words. We read every single one of them.
Sure.
Thank you.
Makes the Monday so much better.
Yes. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Do you roll?
What do you mean I roll?
Rolling method. How do you fit everything
the rolling
in your
method?
You roll your clothes up.
I know. I know. I was like, roll what?
No, not the show.
But yeah, I don't even even know how I fit everything in my carry-on. But, I mean, I'm just, like, I do, like, plan my outfits for the day. And, like, sometimes it's, like, can this cute top, can these two cute tops work with one pant?
That's true.
And pull it off?
That's true.
Okay.
Lighter jackets in a warmer climate.
That's true.
You know, wear everything heavy on the flight.
That's
strategies. You're welcome.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.